church, humility in life. And there's an example for us, Ollie. Honestly, mate. We're blessed as a church to have you. And well done, guys, on that song. That was touched my heart in the song in its own right. I think start something today as we go into this Christmas period is yet not I, but through Christ in me. It's Christ in us. And a good centre for what I'm going to share this morning. So, Father, thank you for this time. Thank you. I just humbly come before you and thank you for this opportunity to be able to share your word. I pray that the words that you've put on my heart will be shared in the term which you design them for, and they'll be received from a heart to heart, Lord, and that people can be changed, be invigorated by these words, these powerful words that come from you. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to touch on that Tommy Robinson, because that's thinking that's going to align, that is, somehow, because it was random, because we before me and Joe went up last night, he came on the YouTube and it was being shown, and I was challenged exactly with what you guys were. It's kind of like and I went to bed and I'm seriously, it was like I started praying for him. I just said, just pray for that guy. And I thought, am I being conned here? Because, you know, this is kind of one of them things where you just think, you know, this something isn't right. There's the pastors and the vicars all standing round by him, but then I went, you know what? It came to my heart. It may be for you as well. But it's, you ever hear people say, that's not my job? Yeah, that's not my job. I'm not doing that. That's not my job. Well, I feel that is for us, for me. It isn't our job to judge on based upon whether he is or he isn't. Paul talks about, you know, the arguments that were going on in the church between I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, and all this. No, it's not. Just follow Jesus. Yeah, if we follow Jesus, then the other things will come aligned. We're not saying that we're converting to Tommy Robinson's church or not. It isn't about that, right? It's about whether or not we focus on our Saviour. And we say, Father, thank you for him. That whether or not it's true or whether it's not, I will pray anyway. I will pray for that guy regardless of whether or not the fruits of his labour over this next week demonstrate that. I'm not going to fall into a bracket of judgment. There's plenty of people in this world that are out clearly to destroy the church. You know? And we're told in these final days that there will happen and it will rise. But we pray for our enemies. That's what we do. We pray for our enemies. And whether he's an enemy or whether we're going to be celebrating with him in heaven, it isn't for us to say. Let's just know that the Lord is moving. And one more final point, and exactly what you said. This morning I woke up and I thought of Saul to Paul. I thought, they're the sort of people that are going to reach this lost nation. They are. So, okay, on that, you took me off my notes, but it was kind of, I thought there's an alignment. There is an alignment. There is an alignment, I'm sure. We'll see. But we're at a Christmas time, guys, where we start to meet a lot of our friends and our families and some of our distant relatives, some distant friends, you know, people that we don't see often. And I believe that, you know, we've all got a desire to see those lost loved ones saved. And what's on my heart and what's been on my heart is to really talk just around that in preparation for this season and these times that we're going to have with our families. And I just feel that it was good in that scripture to know that the impossibility of saving that young rich man. You know, it says in Matthew 19:26 in the TPT version, looking into their eyes, Jesus replied, humanly speaking, not one, because no one can save himself. But what seems impossible to you is never impossible to God. And I want to bring that this morning. How many impossible people are in your lives that you've known over years? Those impossible conversions, those people that you believe that believe is really the wrong term, but are almost untouchable. I can tell you now that my wife, before she was a Christian, was one of those impossible people. She was just completely impossible. I could not even. We even did like a church on a Saturday once, and I invited her because then it wasn't a Sunday. And she goes, "I know what you're trying to do, and it's not going to work." That's what she said. There was complete challenge, and it was almost like she was the impossible one because she wasn't bad per se in that sense. It wasn't like she just didn't want to know. She had no interest whatsoever in Christianity, and whatever I did and tried didn't change. And I reflect on that, and people often ask me what that time was like and what I did, because I tried, and it's when I gave up trying that something actually happened. I tell you the truth, I took my focus off that lady, and I just put my focus back on Jesus, and things started to happen. With our own strengths, we can't save our friends and our loved ones. We could try with a good old-fashioned Christian behaviour and take the scriptures such as love your neighbour. It's always a good one. We always kind of use the love your neighbour as yourself, and it's nothing in particularly with that. I'm not saying it's what we want to do. But if we centre that around our behaviour, then basically we start to build ourselves up. We used to think of it before I went to church. After I'd come back from church, I'd feel built up after I'd come out of church. And, we liken that to me to really do and put my Christian head on. Everything's going to be right. And I get in my car and that BMW cuts you up, who owns the road. And you manage to somehow control that temper and say, you know what, I'm a Christian, I'm good, I've got this, right? And then you race to the shop because you've gotten the mint sauce, and you hold the door open, someone that comes through and they don't say thank you when they walk past you. And you're all right, you can cope with that one. And then you go to get the mint sauce, and that person that you let through picks up the last one. You know. And at that point, you are at the stage of, like, this is really testing my ability as a Christian. And I haven't even managed to get 5 miles down the road, you know. It's challenging. And, I mean, we talk about the self-motivation element, and it doesn't do it. It's impossible to live our Christian life in our own effort. We know we need something built on consistency and more powerful, and that is the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. It's the power of Father God himself. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells in us. And it's not just a case of on the occasion. This is a case of our general decision in our lives. Father God wants a relationship with us that where we can talk to him about the dinner that we're cooking, preparing. We can talk to him about the challenges of the person at work. Or we can talk to him about the person that he wants saved that's in our family. Lord, just show me. You know, be humble. Just enable me to be what you need me to be. Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It's not by your might or your own power, but it is by the Spirit, says the Lord. And Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. That's the choices that we have. The walk is to choose to live by the Spirit. You can't save your loved ones. We have to understand that we have not got that power to do that. Family and friend get-together, we're all used to them. We all know what they bring, okay? Everyone's experiences will be different, but nevertheless, genuinely, Okay, we sit down and we sit around the fire and we start to talk about how the most hated football team, Leeds United, managed to win again or something like that will disturb some people. How our Prime Minister is doing a fantastic job and that might disturb other people. If tomato sauce belongs on roast dinners, that might disturb some people. I mean, come on, look at us all. I agree. But it's a great point. As soon as we touch on these little things, and I'm not saying in any way at all we don't have these conversations. It's great, right? It's good. It's part and parcel of having it. But it's where we dig our heels in, so to speak. It's where we become very pragmatic about what it is that sometimes can tend to get in the way of things. Tomato sauce on roast dinners. This is actually one of my mates. As we were about 20. His dad was an alcoholic. Dad drinking. He owned a pub. And I remember him being around at our house one Sunday. And my mum cooked the roast dinner as she did. And this lad went, can I have the tomato sauce? And of course, my mum and all of us around the Christmas around the dinner table. Sorry, and he didn't just splot it on in the corner. He pasted it all over the dinner. This had gravy on it, by the way, as well. So it wasn't like it was a replacement. But it was really strange because, I remember mum being really challenged by that. And she had a bit of a giggle about it at the time. But the next time he was round for roast dinner, she got the sauce out for him. And it must be 8-10 years later. My mum had passed in this time. But I remember Craig saying in front of my mates, and we were having a dinner somewhere. I think it was a pub lunch somewhere. And we were having a roast dinner, and he got the tomato sauce and plastered it on, as he always did. And he said, Wilco's mum used to see, understand, And that's what he was talking about me, about my mum. And he remembered all those years later that she was the one that understood that he liked tomato sauce. What's my point? My point is that mum never agreed with having tomato sauce on a roast dinner, but she was prepared to be humble in someone that did. And that made an inroad into his life, something that impacted him, because he remembered a lady with a heart that was prepared to do something that she didn't agree with. Every single one of us in this room have got something like that, or a challenge that we're going to face with, whether it seems so small or so big, an opinion that we've got that's so strong about what we think, whether or not an apple is better than an M&S mince pie. I could make my case right now. I could give you research to tell you which one could be better or might be better. It's not going to win you over, okay? We're not going to agree on everything in that way. Just after the rich young ruler, there was another story of a rich, short boss. This guy was the worst of the worst in the eyes of the people. If tax collectors were something you'd find on the bottom of your shoe, well, this guy was the bosses of the guys of the things that you find on the bottom of your shoe. He also had short man syndrome as well, which is something else. That's another level. Now, no one liked him. In fact, in terms of the prize, he was probably the pinnacle. His name was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus from... But unlike the other rich guy, in Luke 19. Now, observe what happened in Zacchaeus' house. Before the dinner was over, Zacchaeus was giving his wealth away to the poor and making restitution for those who he had wronged. And Jesus was proclaiming salvation over his house. Did Jesus agree with his career choice? Did Jesus agree with his lifestyle or his political views? Of course, he didn't. But Zacchaeus demonstrated humility by climbing a tree. This was somebody who was super rich, somebody that didn't really need to do anything in society because he was proven in respect of his money status, his wealth, his house, everything that he had. Yeah, he was prepared to probably muddy his clothes and climb up a tree in desperation to find the Saviour. And let me tell you, it's not always on display. There's people that have got obvious needs in our lives that we come across. There's family members that are sick. There's family members that don't demonstrate any weakness whatsoever. But Father God knows. Father God knows exactly what they're struggling with. It's not by chance that we see so many celebrities with everything, with wealth. Everything that kids tend to look at and go, oh, look at them. They've got everything. He drives the Lamborghini. He's got the mansion. You know, he's got the beautiful girlfriend, or he's you know, living the life, the celebrity way and everything. It's not by chance that you see a lot of these people fall into drugs. Very often find their lives just cracking all around. Sometimes it's visible, sometimes it's not. But I tell you, guys, this is where we can have an impact. If we're prepared to be humble in our views, if we're prepared to allow some of those things that we've become so demonstrative almost about how we believe something should be or something shouldn't be, if we can allow ourselves to be what Father God needs us to be with that person in that situation. And it isn't complex. It isn't complex. We live in a society where I think the left is further left and the right is further right than it's ever been. I don't know if anybody else agrees, but I can only talk for my 40 plus years. You know, but it really, really feels that way. There's such a divided society. I'm not saying at all that we won't have these conversations with the these people. Please don't think I'm saying that we won't have political or football views or whether or not the mince pies or tomato sauces, all those things. I'm not saying that, of course not. But what really what I'm trying to say and what my heart is has been led here is that if we have not got the power to save people, but we can have an influence in that person being saved. That's why we're on this earth. We're a conduit for what Father God wants to do. That's it. Let's play our part. Let's play our part. And we do that by just recognizing that first and foremost, that it's Father God's desire to save these people. It's Father God's desire way even more than what we. I've got a brother-in-law. Was married to my eldest sister. He's not saved. He's from a Catholic background. And let me tell you, he hates church. Hates it. He went to a Catholic school. And I'll be honest with you, if I'd been through the experiences and the God that he was introduced to, I probably would as well. I know that's controversial, but the bottom line is that I understand where he comes from. And he gets on really well with my dad, and my dad's a pastor. I work that out. And this Christmas, I'll sit with him once again. The opportunity to pray this morning, he was the one on my heart. I prayed for Austin, Uncle Austin. And I pray this morning that I can be what Father God wants me to be with him. I pray that my role, albeit small, can be fulfilled through Father God. That I will humble myself and be everything that Father God needs me to be. That's the most powerful prayer we can have. Help me, Lord, show me where I need to change. Show me the areas that I need to let go of. Something I've gripped hold of that's preventing me from being able to do that. Help me just to let go. Help me just to let go. Just remember that winning is saving. Conversations that we have, winning is saving. When we can turn around and say, Uncle Austin has given his life to the Lord, that's when we've won. That's when we've won. Not that I've convinced him that Coventry City are the best football team in the world. It isn't about that. It's about getting him saved. Nothing else matters. So lean on him this Christmas. He is your strength, he is your wisdom, and he is your ever-present help. So just in closure, and I want to give a scripture that I think sums up for me where we stand. And hopefully, when I wrote this down, I just smiled and released my shoulders a little bit. Because in 2 Corinthians 12, in the TPT, says, "My grace is always more than enough for you. Power finds its full expression through your weakness." Let me say that again. "My grace is always more than enough for you. And my power finds its full expression through your weakness." We can be weak. We can enable that weakness and say, "Lord, thank you that you can operate in those areas that I can't." Because when I am weak, you are strong. When I'm humble, you can go to work. And that's the message for this morning, guys. And I just want to finish in prayer. And I want to pray, and I want an opportunity to for you to all just bring those names. People that you will see at Christmas and people maybe that you won't. That those people that would be classed as those impossibles, those people that aren't in touching, because they tell you they're not, but they are for him. And you can do your bit as a conduit to help save them. So let's just pray. Let's just bring those names. Father God, thank you for your great love for us. And I thank you that we're here for such a time as this. We're here to fulfill your will on this earth. And we're here, Lord, not just to be passive, to see, to passively live our lives as we wish to, day to day, year to year. But Lord, we're here to fulfill what you want to do in people that are lost. And this Christmas time, we're going to come across a lot of loved ones, friends, people that, distant relatives, whoever it might be. And Lord, these people seem totally out of reach. Their views and their opinions, or their lack of views and opinions, don't lend themselves to conversation. Either the conversations are cut short or are met with fiery responses that to potential arguments. Lord, it isn't your way. It isn't your way. So Lord, I thank you as we bring these people, these names, as we just speak those names right now in our lives. your desire to see these collection of names that we've just uttered to you, your desire to see them saved, is so much so that you sent your only begotten Son. For you so loved the world. You so loved this collection of names right now that we've uttered. And Lord, I pray for avenues and ways, not only from the people within this church, but the people that they come in contact with, the people that they work with, the people that we don't even know that are praying for them as well. Lord, I pray for inroads. And I pray that this opportunity, this Christmas break that we come in towards, Lord, that, Lord, that we will see results, that we will see changes, that those seeds are planted and that we can just fulfill with the watering as we humbly acknowledge that we can't do it. We gracefully acknowledge that with you, Lord, all things are possible. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Together, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all.